Reaction commencing.
I am composed of small kitten.
If I survived a Sharknado, it would make me look at the world in a whole new light.
That's why you don't read from the book.
Kurt's little brother, Chaos.
The end times are upon us.
I just butchered that, I think.
And now, I got you back, right?
All right, welcome back. I'm Winston.
I'm Curtis.
You're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. Today we're on about the Pathfinder system in general and the challenge rating system for Pathfinder in particular.
For designing encounters.
Right, for designing encounters. Now, the way the system... before we jump onto this with both feet, let's talk about the provenance of the system, shall we say?
Okay.
This comes from the it's a holdover from D&D 3.0, you know, 3.5, and so forth. Straight out of the Game Master's manual, DM manual for those games.
Dungeon Master.
Yes. Right. The challenge rating system is originally meant to allow a party of four characters to take on a single monster, I guess.
Or encounter of said monsters.
Right.
Equal to their challenge rating or above.
Right, equal to the average party level.
Mm-hmm.
And lose 25% of their resources.
Yes.
In the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the model. So a party of four characters, and this is all based around a four party system.
Yes.
A party of four characters that are all level 3 is a CR3 party.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be able to take on a CR3 encounter.
Yes.
And lose 25%, you know, win the encounter.
Yes.
And they'll lose 25% of their resources.
That includes hit points, ammo.
Right.
Spells we'll use, potions, whatever, but yeah.
Right. Okay. The corollary of that, I suppose, is that a single character will engage a CR of the same level in mutual annihilation, but maybe that math doesn't work exactly.
Well, that's where some of the stuff starts disagreeing, because, you know, they say it's designed for four, so you need to reduce the CR due to there being a shortage of number of party members.
Right. All right, so that's kind of the provenance of the system. That's where the challenge rating system comes from. And when's the last time you looked at the 3.5 DM manual, Kurt?
When I started this campaign.
Okay. Well, has the formulation for encounter design changed between 3.5 and Pathfinder?
Not that I could tell.
All right, so we'll work on the premise that it's materially similar, and that's probably right.
Because it has to be, but yeah, we're just going to go with Pathfinder because that's what we're using.
Right, and that's the current iteration of the D20.
Yes.
All right. So under the current Pathfinder encounter design rules, you take the challenge rating of your party is figured the same way, average party level.
Yes.
And that gives you an allotment of XP.
Yes.
And each monster entry in the bestiary is worth a set number of XP based on its challenge rating.
Yes.
So You get, say, 800 XP for a CR3 critter.
Yes.
All right. And or you can spend that XP any way you want.
Yes, as long as you total up to the XP of the encounter.
Right. Right. So a single single CR3 critter is worth 800. I think a CR2 is worth 400. So a CR3 encounter is worth one level 3 critter or two level 2 critters.
Right.
That's the working theory.
That's the way it works.
Okay. But there's a problem that you've discovered with this. I'm just going to throw open the gates here and get out of the way. Go.
It doesn't work.
Okay. Illuminate right. That.
In a perfect world, it may work. But you're dealing with human beings.
Okay. And we have observed that it works pretty good
at low levels.
At low levels and when you have a single monster.
Yes.
You know, just a single monster versus the party.
Yes, and it's adequate enough, but yeah. But it's for an average party who, you know, of four players, that I suppose it works. But if you have, there are factors that throw it out of kink, such as power gamers. Especially.
We wouldn't know anything about power gamers, right?
I've never heard of such a thing. I go for deep role playing.
That's right.
But, yeah.
Okay, and, yeah, go ahead.
Well, if you have a character who concentrates on making sure you can do the most damage and, you know, be a munchkin.
Yeah, okay.
Then they can kill anything real easy. So it throws the whole system out of whack on this average, such as the one counter. You can have, they say, 100 experience points. So you throw in a bunch of little goblins. They're cheap.
Right. So you got a goblins bunch of are cheap.
But their AC and hit points don't stand up to nothing.
Well, you know, we talked about this. You mentioned the orcs and the fighter. Okay, yeah. 7th level fighter, a CR7
mm-hmm.
Encounter for a 7th level party of fighters, let's say.
Well, a party, yes.
A party of fighter. You know what? I'm willing to take a single character.
Oh, yeah.
A single 7th level fighter. Is supposed to be able to take on a challenge rating of 6, say, let's say.
Yeah.
Because there's some adjustment for mm-hmm. missing party members. And if you just, orcs are one-third of a CR, they're yeah. CR one-third, so it takes, what'd you say, 25?
25 for a CR 7, so I want to be make it a challenge for him instead.
Okay.
So it jumps to CR back up one, and then he's got to face 25 orcs.
Great. All right. Now, in the real world, this poor single fighter, even party of fighters, would be overwhelmed.
By the numbers.
I mean, you're talking 4-1 odds.
Yes. But.
But. Yeah, the way that AC works and the way that, you know, your two hits work, a 7th level fighter is going to have an AC that is out of, I mean,
they will not be able to hit it most likely if he has any adequate armor.
Yeah.
It depends on the character, but also he'll be able to take it. The thing is with the fighter and all them orcs, it's 4-on-1. Well, by facing, he can only have 4 on him, so he's flanked, but that's only a -2 penalty and stuff. I mean, the penalties are not there to kill him, and he hits them on average, he'll kill them straight up.
Straight up. You're looking at about 10 hit points per orc compared to 85 for the fighter.
Yep.
An armor class of 11 for the orcs.
Yeah.
Compared to an armor class of 20 for the fighter.
So.
Mm-hmm. The orcs on average are going to have a +1 or a +2 to hit.
If they're lucky.
And your fighter is going to have an average of a
+7.
+13.
Yeah. Just from that
after,
on.
After
everything.
Level and so this is going to be by anybody's measure.
Yes.
This is going to be a slaughter.
Yes, and then he rolls a 1. No,
and but then he rolls a 1. Well, you know, if it's me, right?
Oh yeah, but still, yeah. But by the system, that should have been a challenging encounter for them. But I did that design for the village encounter previously in our adventures,
right?
And you slaughtered them wholesale.
It's, you know,
and he was taking turns. It was not the whole party. It was Greg would blast. Well, who's getting this corner? Well, you go over there and just kill them all. It was not, you know, oh God, there's 25 of them. We're going to get surrounded. No, I'll take them on the right. You take them on the left.
Right. Well, you know, don't forget the time that Greg's druid flew up and took on an entire army of.
That was my early test of the CR system. It was. We made those kobolds, and I wanted to see what happened. I go, okay, let's do an encounter. I'm going to design an encounter out by the CR system. And I want to see. I was like, okay, let's see if we can take on an army. So we made 16th level kobold characters. And then I made, let's see, it was a troglodyte army. It was 200 some odd critters.
It was
and they attacked the village. You had to defend it. So, what happens? So, by the numbers, what's a troglodyte? I don't remember.
It's not much.
So, if there's 200 of them,
so, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, that's their CR equivalent of encounter. Well, you have 216 CR, apparently, level characters, so they'd be, you know, minus two. You know, you say a CR-14 equivalent because they're undermanned.
Okay.
By the math, by the standard. So what happens?
Right, by the chart.
We split up, divided the party.
All right.
And Greg then, he plays a druid. He flies up at that level. He has a spell, Flame Strike.
And just nuked wholesale. Yeah.
Yeah, he obliterated 50 of them right then and there. So he's getting these, so whatever. So I have my characters run up to the fort where the people are hiding, stand at the gate, and don't let any pass because I'm playing a fighter that's a pole arm fighter with reach.
Right.
They don't get near us. So we slaughter them, period. There is no losing. There is no getting hurt because the AC we had, they could not get there quick enough. I mean, it was just, you know, the system didn't work. But some would argue then, you know, it's due to their level and stuff. But by the general description they give you in the book, that is a equivalent counter for that level. And due to them being under the number four, it should have been a challenge to them.
Right.
Well, but it's not.
It's not. And that, you know, that we've observed this time and again, if you just stacking up the lower XP critters to make a higher challenge raider, it's not going to yield a desirable challenge.
No. Only for fun.
On the other hand, it doesn't take too far, you know, you don't have to go too far ahead to get out of balance the other way, do you?
Yes. No. It's too easy. Let's talk of last week's encounter.
Go ahead.
You weren't there, so is the adventure with the three, well, apparently rogue types.
Right.
This is what happens when you're not given photocopies or copies of the characters as you requested early on. So I was having to design an encounter for them, or a challenge. So I was like, okay, I want to mess with oozes, because it's gross, disgusting, and mess with them, something.
Well, sure.
So, I threw it out, because I was just going to test them with it. I had two gelatinous cubes go. They're CRs, or... Three or four.
CR 3.
So there's two of them. So that's a...
modified CR of 5.
Yeah. CR 5, 1600 experience points for them. They didn't run into it. Well, they should have slaughtered it. It's a CR 9 party. You know, three members. That's it. Well, it turns out they're all rogues, and they all concentrated on vital strikes and sneak attacks.
All stuff that oozes are immune to.
And I was like, oh, shoot. I forgot. Because I honestly did.
This is something else that happens. The party panicked. Okay,
well, and they sort of panicked.
I mean, we talked about how they had the fireballs, and we covered that last time.
Yeah.
But even if they had, just looking at the encounter,
they could have took it, but it would have been a beating on them. But the thing is, the difference in the level is they shouldn't have took that bad of a beating because they outclassed it. But the problem was the characters were so focused on a certain type of the rogue thing, they limited themselves to survivability.
Well, they did. And a gelatinous cube is not a fearsome opponent.
No, it would have done some stuff and hopefully gotten away with it. But, I mean, the AC of a 4, 50 hit points, but the average hit point damage they were doing was 6. So it took them a while.
Well, no, remember... Using the slashing and piercing and stuff will cause it to split.
No, not a gelatinous cube. That's another ooze.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, this one does not do that. There are different types. Each one does different things.
Okay.
The ochre jelly is the one that splits.
That's why he runs the game, and I just play fighters.
If I didn't run it, we wouldn't be gaming.
we'd still be game. I'm perfectly willing to run any number of other systems. Okay.
Yeah, but no.
I'm perfectly willing to run
in the beginning.
But...
it was me.
Yeah, I don't know the system nearly as well as...
I still read it, and I'm going to kick Greg's butt. But, yeah. But, you know, for the CR-3s, I mean, a party with CR-9, I mean, technically, okay, we do CR-3. I mean, there's two ways to look at it. The experience alone for the encounter and add it together is two of them.
Right.
Or you say 3, and then there's a second one that's +2 to the CR, so that's, you know, CR5. So no matter what, it's a CR5, and it's just to a 9. They're 4 difference. That should be a slaughter.
It should be a slaughter, but the party, it wasn't.
No. If they did not have that fireball stuff, they would have been having to beat their way out, and the whole adventure would have been like that. Well, the whole first part. But they had that, so I changed the cards. So I did that as a test, and I kept egging them on. Okay, you want to leave now? Because there may be more of this stuff.
Right.
So, like, good party group of adventuring, murdering hobos. Charge!
Charge!
So that's when they ran the other jellies, the ochre jellies.
Right.
Those are the
splitters.
Those
are the ones that split. Right.
3 of them, which is a CR8 encounter.
Right.
Total 4,800 experience points. By the same math, by the same thing, you know, subtracting whatever and get it to them, and they still didn't have the advantage, but they had the fireball thing.
You know, fireballs aside, that split ability on the ochre jellies, every time they hit one of those, they would make 2 weaker opponents.
Well, and they're also the ochre
so
jellies.
They could have.
Yeah, until they get down to 10 hit points.
Right.
But the thing was, they're immune to slashing and piercing weapons, period.
Yeah,
you hit it, it splits.
Right. Which cuts it into 2 critters with half of the hit points.
Yes.
So that's worth the attack. They could have.
They
could have just split the
jellies. They're a bunch
down
of rogues
nothing,
and they're scared.
They're a bunch of pansies is what they are.
Yes, they were.
A bunch of little daisies.
Okay, the party was an assassin who specialized in feigning and doing the assassin ability. The other was a halfling rogue who specialized in sneaking up behind them, flanking and stabbing them. Sneaking. Then the other was. God, I don't even remember what he is. He's some kind of spellcaster, Greg's character is, but roguish. But he's also a pretty boy. He loves using his prestidigitation to keep himself clean.
Yeah,
so
he didn't
had power attack and stuff, but he did not want to get near these things to get dirty. I took his, but.
Oh, well.
So they whipped them. They did the fireballs because they worked it out and did it.
Cooked them anyway.
Yeah. So they started whining after that about, you did this delivery to hose us.
No.
And I go, no, honestly.
You wouldn't do that.
No, I didn't. I honestly forgot what the character types were because they never really tell me everything. I remembered him being an assassin, but I remember also all our characters usually are rounded enough to be able to handle other things.
This just didn't happen
this wasn't
time.
The thing. No.
All right. So, but still, by the challenge rating, it should not have been
too hard.
It shouldn't have been that difficult.
But it wasn't. They did not get hurt. They did not. They just, the fireballs turned it on their side.
Okay, now let's flip this around. And let's talk about the red cap from early on in the
Yeah, when I was peed off.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, early on in the beginning's adventure, your brother was here playing the whatever god.
Yeah, the mad wizard
and
character.
And it was when I was started out being green game master, basically. I needed to design the encounters because I was not going to do modules because we suck at doing modules and I just didn't care. Well, I have to read. I have to know the module inside and out. It's better. I just create something from scratch.
All right. Yeah.
So
I was
using the CR system to create our monsters and you always blow through them, even if they're for your CR or challenging more.
Right.
So I was getting ticked. So I want to mess with red caps. So I made the CR encounter for red cap, enhanced him, made him to your CR, and then I gave him some magic items. That is it. I gave him a storm giant skin armor, which allowed him to enlarge and a storm giant, enlarge and become a storm giant abilities and stuff, some magic items so he could escape and slice you. Those are not figured in the CR normally. You have to do it as ad hoc adjustments.
Now, this red cap, even without the magical gear, we couldn't touch this thing.
It had a high ACR, but it was still of your equivalent to the thing.
Well, I guess by the math it was, but
it was.
We couldn't hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shape changed into giant size and started whooping everybody.
Remember, that was the village. That was also the village where he was getting the orcs.
Yeah.
I was going to have him do that no matter what because I wanted y'all to chase some red caps. And David was saying he wanted to switch out characters. And I was going to make that decision for him right
there. That's right.
No, he's picking. He's,
yeah.
He was upsetting the GM.
Right. That's always a tactical error.
Well, he was. His character he made was not cohesive to the group and was half the time useless. And he was whining a lot, and I was tired of that.
Well,
he was whining more than normal. because he was useless on some things.
Yeah, but no, what the red cap supposedly of our challenge rating?
Yes,
just whooped up on the party. It wasn't. It wasn't pretty.
No, it wasn't. And then
it was downright scary. We spent the next entire scenario running away from the red cap.
Well, you were worried it would appear because I made it disappear with the cape of the monster back where it teleports away. So it put that fear in you, which I wanted because it wasn't going to. But the thing was, Greg was getting his mojo going and he was getting to fight it back. So he'd have to die next.
Right.
Because that's the only way it would work. Because, you know, Jeff and you were going to hammer on it, but it didn't have much to go. So I wrote down what I was going to do. He's going to escape.
Yeah.
And that's what the cape was for. But he's going to kill David, throw his body in the little bag of holding he had so he couldn't resurrect or nothing, and that's that.
Oh, that was before David brought in the Mad Wizard.
That was that first character that
sucked.
Yeah,
I don't remember what it was, but...
Yeah, but he sucked, and David was whining too much because he made him weird.
Yeah, that's
and,
all right.
Yeah, so I bit his head off, threw it in the bag, and later had it turn up as a golem at one point.
I don't remember that either.
But we diverted, so I was like, I'll hold them off.
Yeah,
a gang of red caps jumps up and kicks your butt, you'll know why.
Yeah, right.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the flip side of the, you know, the CR problem. If you try to stack it up on the low levels, it's just not going to... It's not going to add up. It just never will.
Right.
And on the other side, you make it just a little bit more challenging than that, and it tends to go the other way.
And it also, you know, in the end, it's just die rolls too, to an extent.
And die, you know what? Die rolls is a killer on pretty much anything because that was the same episode, I guess, where we killed the Black Dragon.
Yeah, it was
the one where.
Before that.
Was it before that? Okay.
Yeah, you went to the Black Dragon because y'all whined. Oh, it's something to challenge me. I was like, what?
Yeah, well,
okay, fine.
Yeah, fine. Kill the party.
Greg wanted to find the Black... No, Greg was whining, and then Jeff jumped on the bandwagon and went to fight because David wasn't there.
Yeah.
And they wanted to kill a dragon, so I went through all the dragons. I was like, okay, if I give you anything but that Black Dragon, you'll get hosed because that's the way they are. It's the weakest one. Gave it to you, and you roll criticals out the wazoo all of a sudden, and you're jumping and killing it. So I'm
not
like, okay.
Only that, were we rolling crit, but you it couldn't roll higher than a five.
It kept rolling ones, and I was like, oh my God. So I went with it, because why not? You don't want to screw the party over. So I was like, yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's, you know, your party's weak and can whoop a dragon by themselves.
And sometimes you got to run away from a red cap.
Yeah, but that's fine. But the whole thing is the system doesn't reflected enough. It's all in my judgment. So it's not, it helps to an extent, but then I just have to, like I've been doing, throwing it out the door and just going with what I want.
Well, you know, that's going to be the next. How do you fix something like this? And is there still a place to use the CR system?
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's a good guideline to start because it gives you an equivalent, but you have to know your party, your group that's playing. And that's my big one.
And we have observed that especially in, we said the lower levels, but let's call it the mid-levels.
Mm.
Because early on, it's not so much. But, you know, mid-level from like 3 to 9, right in there.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with that, I mean, a single CR 3 to 9 critter is going to be a good match for the party.
Yes, usually depending on the party.
Yeah.
Always depends on the party.
You know, when you start stacking them up, you may run into troubles, but.
Yeah,
those mid ranges do seem to work out pretty well, but we talked about why this is and what did we finally determine? I mean, dice rolls, you can't control the dice roll.
No,
it's going to go.
You can't.
It's
going to go or not.
You can't control player tactics either.
Heck no.
You know, because sometimes you can set it up elaborate. Climb up the
wall.
You know, up the wall, and sometimes they're going to run away from a red cap. And
I don't want to get dirty. Oh my God.
I don't want to get dirty. Oh. Yeah, sometimes they're going to run away from a noose.
Or, you know, if I can't blast it, what? You're
but
you're
where this, you know, at the early levels, you know, character level 1, 2, and 3, your party really doesn't have a variety of things that they can do.
No, they're developing. This is where you make your decisions on how you're going, who does what, or what you want to be.
Right.
What
so
am I good
encounters
at
this level all tend to be really similar.
Yes. Pointy end goes in the soft, squishy thing.
That's right. And then once you get past level 9, once you get up to level 10 and onward, there's just a truckload of options available.
Yeah, stuff you're getting,
to all
things
of the core
you can
classes.
Do. Yeah.
You know, and the specialized ones, maybe not quite so many. But even my 10th level fighter is, you know, at this point, I have access to so many feats.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can, whatever comes up, I've got a feat that can counter and deal with it. And the magic users are even worse.
Yes. Well, we only got one, technically, thank God.
Yeah. So I think what we're seeing cause the breakdown of this is, As the characters grow more powerful, their set of options expands, which really puts pressure on the GM to deal with those expanding options.
Yes.
So there is a place for the challenge rating system, especially in those low and mid levels.
It's always a good guideline, at least.
Yeah. And I don't know, after that, what the other breaker. The other breaker is Greg.
The gamers themselves. If they're
and
going
magic
for
items.
Munchkin, yeah. And
magic items. We, you know, the magic items are really breaking the game because we were looking at this too. If we're going hardcore by the rules, if this were D&D 4th edition. They can't see you making a face. Are you okay?
don't
strangle
him.
Yourself. You know, if there were hardline legal reserve limits on the gear that you could have and the magic
it's
items,
too much
you
bookkeeping
could have,
in my judgment.
You know, then yeah, this
they,
may
they,
be a different story.
They have
story.
Your wealth at each character level, and that's how much wealth they should have. So that's how much they should have in magic items. That limits how many magic items and how powerful it is. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, but
and
that,
the organized play, I mean, tracks that, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah, it's all tracked there. The modules tell you what's given out, so it's all there exactly. But
right.
yeah, nothing overbalancing. You got this. You come into another game. That's that.
You know, so I can see how this would be really useful for organized play.
Yeah, that's where it works. Help with that if it's a module thing, but still, the organized play, they put restrictions on the characters that can be made.
Right.
And I mean, if you're, you know.
Yeah, there will not be any Gregs in.
He won't be able to create stuff. That's the thing. The organized play, he'll never play it. You're not allowed to be able to create brew potions, anything like that.
Yeah.
So he won't do that. So you're limited. And he could probably make a blaster or whatever, but it'll be, you know, he'll be having to get up feats and doing it a certain way, and he doesn't like doing that.
And let's be honest, you know, 90% of the gamers out there are not. Either not part of the organized play,
no,
or if they're part of the organized play, that's only a portion of the gaming experience.
Yeah, they play this and then they do that. Yeah.
Yeah, most of this is done at home when you can get the time with your regular gaming group, and it's a, you know, Annie bar the door. It's get what you have. We're here to have fun. So
yes, so
and in these kind of situations, we have noticed that the CR rating system. Challenge rating system tends to
it doesn't work for
be
our
more
group.
Of a suggestion.
Yeah, for us as a group who plays, it's a good suggestion. Every time I've thrown it out and just pick some monsters I want to do a hook story, which gets me the deep role playing by putting a story around it,
right?
Which freaks everybody out to an extent, like current people, and then I just throw it in. I improvise a lot, but I plan it out ahead.
Yeah,
5 different ways.
So is that really your best advice for dealing with the challenge rating system for designing your characters
right now,
or for designing your encounter?
Yeah, because I mean, if you have, it depends on the group. In the end, if you have a bunch of power gamers and munchkins,
yeah,
you'll have to adjust always. But there's some cool monsters you want to use. I mean, that's the thing. That's what restricts it. So
yeah, what monsters do you want to use? Yeah. What do you want those encounters to be?
Like with the oozes. Yeah.
And this is Pathfinder. You know, it's heroic stuff, and the mechanics of it are really swingy. The math in Pathfinder is just all over the place. But anyway. All right. Well, that's our take on the challenge rating system. What do you think? Do you want one more go at Pathfinder next week, or do you want to change systems? What do you
feel? I don't care.
All right. Well, we'll meditate on it and probably roll a die.
GURPS.
Go back to GURPS. That's right. But in the meantime, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Later.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.